Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, August the 15th. A very warm day and humid day here in North Texas. I think we're back to summer. We had a little break there for a couple of days. We're back to the summer. A couple of big stories we're going to get into today. The problems at the Catholic Church, and this is a shame, and I'm a Catholic, but unfortunately this is back. Problems with some priests and accusations, allegations of child abuse. This is very bad, and we'll get into it in a minute. There were some primaries on Tuesday across the country, a lot in the Midwest, a bit in the Northeast. Some interesting trends that came out of this primary that may or may not have an impact in November. But I want to talk about a couple of stories very quickly here before we get to the other two. The big news, I guess, over the last hour here is that CIA director, former CIA director John Brennan, has had his security clearance stripped away. I don't know what the big deal is. I really don't. I guess this was a professional courtesy, and as I understand the rules, this has happened before, meaning that they keep some of these people on, or they keep their security clearance in the event that they had to consult with them. I don't see the Trump administration consulting with John Brennan anytime soon. So I don't know what the big deal is. You take away his security clearance, he's not going to need it anyway. So I don't know. I guess everybody's reacting to this. You know, it just seems like anything Trump does, you know, have this immediate crazy reaction on the part of some people. It's no big deal. Brennan is not going to go in there and give anybody an opinion where he's got to look at information where he needs a security clearance. So I don't know what the big deal is, but I guess it's a big deal in the minds of some people. I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning regarding Sweden. If you've been following the news, you've got these, I guess they call them young people who are going around and they're torching automobiles and creating some problems. Sweden has elections in early September, and violence, which has been happening too much in Sweden, is going to be one of the big stories. So I don't know how all of this is going to show up on election day, but Sweden has a violent problem, which is a real problem for a country, I think, that was always kind of known for being a pretty quiet, soft country, Scandinavian country. Well, no more, not at all. I have a post about abortion in Cuba coming out on Thursday morning. Abortion in Cuba, and this all comes from an article that Yoani Sanchez, the blogger in Cuba, wrote about abortion. They're having a shortage of condoms in Cuba. So what's happening is young girls get pregnant, young women get pregnant, women get pregnant, and they're using abortion. And the rates of abortion are not just high, they're alarmingly high. She talks, for example, about a 20-something young woman who's had four abortions. What a disaster, what a legacy for the so-called Cuban Revolution. It's just incredible to me, especially for those of us who remember Cuba to be a totally different country. Well, let's talk about the Catholic Church. Terrible story. We went through this a few years ago. In fact, right here in Dallas, Texas, we had problems with this. And now again, we're talking about priests behaving very poorly, very badly. Apparently, some of them were, again, allegations. We have to wait until justice is served. But allegations that some of these priests were violating very young kids. And, you know, this is a PR nightmare for the Catholic Church. I just don't know how else to say it. And the Catholic Church is going to have to get on top of this. I hope that Pope Francis gives this the urgency that it needs. He probably will. And I hope he orders the bishops in the United States to clear their desk and focus exclusively on this issue. This is a terrible problem for a church that has been there before. They've had this problem before, and I think many of us thought, okay, it's behind us now. But no, it's right back in the front pages again. And it's a real shame. It's a real shame. I'm a Catholic. I love the Catholic Church. I've spent all my life in the Catholic Church. And I can tell you that it is a beautiful religion. And I can give you examples of priests and nuns who have done some wonderful things for me and for so many people. The Catholic Church is always at the front of let's say taking care of the poor or battling against abortion. The Catholic Church is at the very forefront of fighting for traditional marriage. So the Catholic Church has a great record of service and work for the community. And these incidents, these priests who engage in this kind of behavior, are doing the Catholic Church a terrible disservice, absolutely terrible disservice. I remember back in the late 90s when we went through that other scandal here in the Dallas area, many people left the church. I mean, I know a family that left the Catholic Church because they felt that the Catholic Church was not treating this seriously, that or at least there were too many people inside the church who knew what was going on and didn't say anything. And I think that's the big problem. You're always going to have somebody in an organization as large as the Catholic Church. You're always going to have somebody who gets out of line. You're always going to have someone who misbehaves. But there's always somebody else who knows about it, generally. And that's the problem, that some people knew this was going on and didn't say anything. And that, I think, is the most difficult problem here. And that's what the church is going to have to address. And that's what the church, from Pope Francis down to the bishops, are going to have to make it very clear that if you hear something or you suspect that something is going on, you got to get involved and you got to tell somebody. Otherwise, these problems could show up again, and the Catholic Church does not need them. Nobody needs them, but the Catholic Church does not need them. So we pray that there will be a good leadership here on the part of the Pope and the bishops, and that we can clean this up, because this is awful news. This is the worst type of PR problem that you can have, and that is priests accused of violating children. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that. I just don't know how else to say it. It simply doesn't get any worse than that. And again, I feel terrible for the great priests and the great nuns and the great work that they've done over the centuries for people. When you have an incident like this, well, everybody forgets about them and talks about these priests who did something wrong. Terrible shame, terrible shame. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to all of that on the show information right under the show description. You can see right there the link to Carlo's website, and we hope you support him and get around town and listen to his good music. On this day in 1945, the Emperor of Japan spoke to the people and basically prepared the country for the unconditional surrender. The official surrender happened in the first week of September, but he set the table for that to happen. And of course, back here, that created a lot of celebrations and so on. And you've got that famous picture of the sailor kissing the nurse that was on the cover of Life magazine. So the end of World War II began today, 1945, a horrible war, especially in Japan. I mean, it was absolutely horrible those last few months in Japan. On this day in 1969, Woodstock, the festival of Woodstock, was celebrated in New York. You know, we kind of romanticize Woodstock now, years later, but when you know, I don't think Woodstock, back then at least, was that popular. I think there was a real backlash against what all of that turned into, you know, the drugs and the free sex and all of that. And I don't know. I don't remember a lot of excitement back in 1969 and so on. But now we kind of look back romantically, and we remember Woodstock. Well, the other big story we want to get into is what happened yesterday at the primaries. I think this is it for the primaries. I think most of the states have had their primaries, and both sides have pretty much lined up for the November election. This is what we can say about last night, the two trends that we picked up last night. Everybody endorsed by President Trump won. And I think the biggest shocker was in Minnesota, where former Governor Pawlenty, who I always thought would win that race and position himself for another run for president, he lost the primary to a relatively unknown politician, his last name Johnson. So that was probably the big shocker of the night on the Republican side. But again, Trump, if you got Trump's endorsement, you won. That is a trend that is picking up. Clearly, this is Trump's party. This is really becoming Donald Trump's party. And I think that that's obvious. That's obvious by these primary results. Then on the Democrat side, what you had was kind of like the Bernie Sanders comeback. If you remember a week ago, the people that Bernie Sanders supported didn't do very well. Now, you have a situation where they've made a comeback. So the more progressive wing of the party, what they call the more progressive wing of the party, I think some of them are socialists, frankly, but they don't like to call themselves that. They like to call themselves progressives. They did well. So you're going to have, for example, in Vermont, the Democrats nominated the first transgender candidate. In other parts, in other primaries, you have very liberal Democrats who are going to be running in November. How that plays out, we'll have to see. We'll have to see. I think the strategy of the Republican Party is going to be to put the label socialist on some of these candidates. Now, the truth is, these Democrat candidates are going to help the Republicans a great deal by some of the things that they're calling for. I mean, when you're calling for Medicare for all, when you're calling for free education, I mean, when you're talking like this young woman from the Bronx, who frankly doesn't know much of what she's talking about. She apparently has a following of the Democrat Party. So I think the Republican strategy is going to be to basically attack these candidates on the grounds that they are too far to the left. The Democrat strategy is going to be to attack these candidates and to say they're too close to Trump. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in November. It's going to come down, as we mentioned the last time, it's going to come down to turnout. And on that score, I think both parties seem to be holding their own. I'm very interested in reading what Barry Castleman, our friend, the Prairie editor, has to say about all of this. But some of the early reading and some of the articles or so that have come out here, and again, it's very early, basically in the first 24 hours. But some of the early articles that are looking at total vote, they're basically saying that both sides were energized and both sides turned out to vote. So if both sides turn out to vote, then I think the Republicans will hold on to the House, because if the Republicans turn out to vote, they'll hold on to the House. I don't see how they could lose. Of course, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the Senate, because that's an entirely different election over there. But it is fascinating that two Democrats now, the senator from Indiana and the senator from West Virginia, both in very tight re-election campaigns in two very Republican states, that both of those candidates have come out in favor of the fence or the border wall with Mexico. And it's also interesting that some of these red state Democrats are actually meeting with Mr. Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court nominee. So maybe that tells you something, that the Senate Democrats running for re-election in red states, maybe it tells you that they're sort of preparing themselves for whatever attacks they get from the Republican candidate regarding the Supreme Court and general Trump policy. So we'll wait. I think it's too early yet to make a lot of predictions, but I'll just say it again. If the Republicans turn out, I think they will hold on to the House, maybe lose a few seats. That's inevitable. But they will hold on to the House and clearly maybe pick up a couple of seats in the Senate. One of the interesting races in the Senate is what's happening down in Florida. We'll get into that on another program, but all of a sudden Governor Scott is leading down in Florida for the U.S. Senate. Well, thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Beautiful, warm, and humid day here in Dallas, Texas. But hey, what are you going to say? It's the middle of August. Bye-bye, everybody.